Lines. This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, yeah. Alvin, if you don't mind, I wouldn't mind shaking it up, breaking format in the middle of the week on a Wednesday. Can I get that deputy? Exactly. Didn't even have to ask for it. Did not even have to ask for it. What's cracking? I am live. I am Jim Rome. I am broadcasting from the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines. What an amazing spot. What an amazing resort. One of my favorite stops of the entire year. Of all the things we get to do every single year, this is one of my favorite things. I am so fired up to be back. It is a perfect day. If one more person says to me, damn, Rome, you look pretty cold on Sunday. If one more person says that to me, yeah, if by cold you mean I had hypothermia, I was frostbitten, I'm still frostbitten. Yeah, I know. It was cold. I know. I look cold. Believe me, as cold as I looked, I felt 100 times more cold. Except not today, man. I am living large back in Cali, in La Jolla, at Torrey Pines, and it feels great. Brought a big old jacket. And look, I can't lie. I was snake bitten. I don't ever want to be cold ever again. I didn't want to work outside ever again. But here I am in California, sunglasses on at 9 o'clock. The sun is coming out. Homeboy to my right at 1 o'clock has got shorts on. It is so good. It is a perfect day in Cali. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We are at the Farmers Insurance Open, so I've got a lot of golf for you today. I've got the standard program, lots of things to get to, but we have guests coming through. In the meantime, what that means to you is you can participate. Hit me up on the phones. Adam Hawk is here. Alvy is back in our studios in SoCal. It's Rit! The old man is there, probably slamming coffee. Check that. Candy and hot chocolate. But the whole crew is working it. If you want to call the program and you want to get through, we'll take telephone calls. 1-800-636-8686. Go through the studio. In fact, you got a better shot today. Hawk is here. He's not screening, which means the old man's got to be screening calls. Get through Rit. Get to me. Get on the air. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter. The Wi-Fi is strong today. Bill Eisenhammer took care of that for me. The Wi-Fi is good here. Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. Or if you want to go old school, we still take emails, Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Let me set this show up for you. Coming up next segment, Tony Finau, right here at our broadcast location. He is really good about coming by when we're here. We're going to run down Tony Finau in about 15 minutes. The legend, right smack dab in the middle of hour number one. He is a force of nature. He's a wild man. He is Pat Perez. Pat Perez is so great. I was telling my guys this morning, Ben and Woods in San Diego, that Pat Perez hit me up midweek and said, Rome, it is so good to be back in the jungle. Can I have two segments? I said, Pat, man, I would give you 3 hours. I would give you 3 weeks. I would give you the show, Pat. I'd make you my co-host. The problem is I got Tony Finau in front of you, and I have Rex Hoggard behind you, so you get one big fat segment in hour number one. So Pat Perez will be by. Rex at the top of hour number two. In the middle of hour number two, Charlie Hoffman. And then at the top of hour number three, we go off the board. He will not be here. Man, I wish he were. You want to talk about a force of nature. I'm going to change up on you and talk to former Navy SEAL turned guru, turned motivator, turned best-selling author, turned podcast extraordinaire, turned maybe the baddest guy on the planet, not named David Goggins, and maybe even the baddest guy on the planet. That's a different kind of debate. You know that whole LeBron MJ debate? I have a Jocko Willink, David Goggins debate. Jocko on the phones at the top of hour number three. So this is how your show is setting up. We are live from Torrey Pines. I would love a telephone call. Go ahead, hit us up. In terms of golf, I've got thoughts on the matchup. It's a great, great field. Really good field. And the usual suspects are expected to contend this week, starting with Tiger Woods. We know Tiger has won 8 times here. Tiger is tied. Sam Snead with the all-time record for wins on the PGA Tour. Looking to make that his own this week. And I think Tiger's got a really good look at it. Hey, Kristen, what's up? Look who's here. Kristen, one of our bookers. So Tiger's got a really good look at it. And the reason I say that, I want to reiterate something I said earlier this morning on San Diego Radio. Tiger's got a great look at it because, to me, he is back. And back in a different way. Like, I'm not saying he's back because physically he's back. Although he is. I'm not saying he's back because his swing is right, but it is. I'm not saying he's back because his putter is right, because it is. These are all true things. the thing to me that makes me think that he's the one to beat this week is he's back because he's got that edge back. He's got that swagger back. He's got his confidence back. He's got the look back. He's picking his spots clearly, but every time he does pick a spot, he's a threat to win it and finish. So I'm really eager to see how he looks in his 2020 debut, but I expect him to have a very, very good week. In fact, I'll put myself out there and say I think he's the one to beat. And then you've got all your other usual suspects too. Rory, John Rahm, and more. On top of that, some other things I want to get to. We're not going to talk golf for 3 hours. I do want to talk about the Hall of Fame balloting. I want to talk about Derek Jeter. The Baseball Hall of Fame is going to welcome 4 new members this year. Catcher Ted Simmons, who was an unbelievable player. Former player's head, Marvin Miller. They were both previously voted in by the Hall's Modern Era Committee. And now they're going to be joined, come to find out, by Larry Walker and Derek Jeter. Nothing shocking about that. Well, a little bit, because Larry Walker, in his 10th and final appearance on the ballot, went from 54.6% of the vote last year to 6 votes over 75% this year. And even Walker himself thought that he was not going to get in. Earlier in the day, he had already tweeted, quote, "Although I believe I'm going to come up a little short today, I still want to thank all of you that have been pulling for me and showing your support. I'm grateful for all of you. It's been fun leading up to today, reading everyone's thoughts. Cheers, LW." So that was his tweet earlier in the day. Then he gets the phone call, and then he drops an expletive when the phone rang. But because it's the Hall of Fame, there cannot be a vote without some sort of controversy, and this time, all the controversy was about the voting itself, and the fact that Derek Jeter received votes on 396 of 397 ballots. In other words, he fell one vote short of joining Mariano Rivera as the second unanimous selection in Hall of Fame history. One vote. One vote short of unanimity. And of course, people were losing their collective bleep. They're freaking out. Jeter was asked what he thought about that. And Jeter answered the way you would expect Derek Jeter to answer something like that.
I mean, it takes a lot of votes to get into the Hall of Fame. And to get that many people to all agree is pretty difficult to do. So I don't think about that. You know, it's a complete honor to be in the Hall of Fame.
All right, so that's pretty much Derek Jeter showing up the way you'd expect Derek Jeter to show up. But that did not stop everybody else from losing their minds. What's interesting, though, is this is the rare freak out that goes in both directions. Like, there are those who are freaking out, saying that Jeter got robbed, and that it was bullcrap, and that it was petty of one voter to leave him off the ballot. But the other side is arguing Jeter was always overrated. Jeter never should have been close to unanimous in the first place. There's some morons even trying to argue that he shouldn't even be in the Hall of Fame at all. And then I fall somewhere in between. Because let's be real, there are few things more ridiculous than the debate about whether or not somebody is a first ballot Hall of Famer or not, or whether somebody is unanimous or not, or the idea about making certain guys wait a number of years before they get in. That's always been one of my favorites. Like, their numbers get any better over time. Like, they're any more deserving 5 years later or 7 years later. Like, you want to make sure that you send a message. Like, you're great. You're great, but you're not that great. Like, that'll never make sense to me at all. But if we break it down for a minute, nobody is going to argue that Derek Jeter is the greatest player of all time. Nobody's going to argue that he's even the greatest player at his position of all time. Nobody can even argue that he's the greatest player of his own era. You can't. You can't make that argument. I mean, if you want to be harsh about it, the guy was never even named MVP. So he was never regarded, never mind best player of the era, he was never regarded as the best player in any year that he played in, much less the best player in the era. All right, so let's be real about that for a minute. But to say that this guy is not a Hall of Famer is a horrible take. Yeah, I mean, you say that, and I want to say it almost makes you a horrible person. That's how bad of a take that is. Normally I would say to you, hey, you're entitled to your take. No matter how horrible it is, you're entitled to that take. Just know it's such a horrible take, you're essentially a horrible person if you think it. Like, that bad. Like, I know this guy was not exactly Ozzie Smith defensively. And the fact that he played for the Yankees and was the captain of the Yankees made him a hell of a lot more famous than he would have ever been had he played for the Royals or the Rays. And a lot of the coverage of him during his career was pretty disgusting. I mean, pretty nauseating. I mean, people just fawning. Like the flip. Like, oh my God, that was the most amazing thing, not only in the history of baseball, but in the history of the whole planet. Yeah, I mean, I understand why people get turned off. That kind of fawning was pretty disgusting. But, he did win. He did win rings, 5 of them. He did make all-star teams, 14 of them. He did get a lot of hits in the postseason, 200 of them. He did get a lot of hits in the regular season. In fact, he was number 6 all time. You do that anywhere, New York or otherwise, you're getting into the Hall of Fame. You do that as the captain of the Yankees, then you're going in on the first ballot. You do that as the captain of the Yankees, and you not only go in on the first ballot, you may go in on every single ballot. And I've got no problem with that. But for all the people who are getting worked up that he was robbed or jammed and how wrong it was that he wasn't unanimous, man, just dial that down. Dial that down. And here's why. Hank Aaron was not unanimous. Willie freaking Mays was not unanimous. Babe Ruth was not unanimous. There's no way you're telling me that Derek Jeter was better or more significant to the game than Mays or Aaron or Ruth. He just wasn't. But then again, being unanimous doesn't matter. It just doesn't. And even if it does matter, he still shouldn't be unanimous. Not if those guys weren't. So I get the argument that because people were idiots in the past doesn't mean they should be idiots today. But can we be real about one more thing? A big part of baseball, a big part of the tradition of baseball, is doing what came before you, even if what came before you was being an imbecile. So I don't really know who voted for him or didn't vote for him, and I really don't give a damn. I don't care if it was a principled stand because guys like Aaron, Mays, and Ruth, I don't care if it was out of spite or pettiness. I don't even care if it was a look-at-me pub grab. Well, actually, I hope it wasn't that. Because the only thing worse than getting worked up about unanimous votes is somebody trying to use that to make it about themselves. Bottom line, Derek Jeter is a Hall of Famer. Everybody knows it. Even the one person who didn't vote for him knows it. So let's just stop with all the stupidity. I know I say this sometimes, but there is literally nothing to see here. Nothing. Just keep moving. That was me slapping a tongue on my mic because that was a great take. And I feel good. I'm having such a good day already. I am live at Torrey Pines. What's not to love about life? Sun is shining through. I see pine trees. They're cooking up breakfast. Tony Finau is going to be by in a minute. Then Pat Perez. Man, I am living large, and I feel good. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Take a short time out. Hit me up. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the right part or accessory that you need to get that job done right the first time. But did you also know that they will check your battery, test your check engine light, install your wiper blades, even loan specialty tools when you need them? And if your car is not stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the brake parts and supplies that you need to do that job right the first time. In fact, now for a limited time, save 15% when you buy a set of Brake Best pads and 2 Brake Best rotors. Stop by today. Let the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts help make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects so much easier. They know what it means to provide excellent customer service. That's why professional technicians have trusted O'Reilly Auto Parts for more than 30 years. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. We are live at Torrey Pines, the site of the Farmers Insurance Open. I love this stop. One of my favorite stops every single year. And if I'm going to come here, I'm going to start the program like this. I mean, yes, I have my show open, but if I'm going to have somebody sit down, you know who I'm angling and efforting for. This guy. It's become a tradition of sorts. He is a PGA Tour pro. He is a world number 16. He is a member of the winning President's Cup team last month. He is a member of the Ryder Cup team. He finished tied for 5th at last year's Masters. He was 3rd at the British Open. He is the co-host of the Let's Get It podcast with Boyd Summerhays. He is Tony Finau. Tony, what's going on? How are you?
What's up, Jimmy? Thanks for having me on again, bro.
It is so good to see you. I appreciate you coming by.
Thank you.
You know, from the outside, let me just get right into it. This is a track and a tournament where you have always produced solid results. How would you describe this course and how well does it fit your game?
Yeah, well, it's a challenging golf course, no question about it. Torrey South, I think, is one of the toughest golf courses we play on tour all year. And you combine that with some of the toughest greens. Poana grass is really tough to play on and tough to putt on. So making putts, outside of how hard the course is, making putts on these greens are extremely tough. So just one of the toughest tests we have all year and one of the toughest tests we face on the PGA Tour just in general. So it's a golf tournament that I do enjoy. I love the look of the place. You got to hit it with length. Length is a big part of playing this golf course well, and fortunately for me, I have that, and I look forward to another great week here this week.
That's how you set that up. Tony Finau, my guest. Now, you're coming off a top 15 at the American Express,
yeah,
which included a second-round 62,
yeah,
which tied the PGA West Nicklaus Tournament course record. So when you're getting ready for a day like that, did you know potentially you were looking at a round like that, or do you really never know?
Man, you just never know, and, I didn't know. I made the turn at 3 under. I ended up shooting 10 under, so I shot 7 under on my back 9.
Wow.
But even, even after I made a couple birdies on my back, it's I knew I was going to have a good round, but, you never know when you're going to shoot 62. So it was my lowest round to par in my PGA Tour career, and that was awesome to have, to start my 2020 PGA Tour season that way, to know that I'm pretty sharp. And of course, always have work to do, but that my game is in a good place. I look forward, again, to playing the Farmers Insurance Open this week.
All right, Tony, to that point, you had a round that included a run of 7 birdies in 9 holes.
Yeah.
Now, you're a big, big sports fan, so you understand this analogy. Basketball players talk about being in the zone, feeling like the hoop is huge. Everything is going in no matter what. No matter what you throw up, it's going down, or everything's slowing down, or everything feeling like it's in slow motion.
Yeah.
What's it feel like when you're playing a round like that and you're running in one birdie after another? What's the golf analogy for that?
Yeah, I think you're in a bubble. You're in your own bubble. You're in your own world, and nothing can go wrong. There's something there in your conscience that you just feel that you can't do anything wrong. And then that's kind of what the feeling is like, and that's a great thing about being in the zone. There's so much psychology behind how do you get in the zone? What
right.
is the zone?
I'm going there next, right?
Yeah, exactly. So there's so much psychology around that, and I'm an avid reader, and so I read up on things like that, and there's been so many different analogies and theories on how you get in the zone. I'm still trying to figure it out for myself, but I know last week for sure on that back nine, I definitely was in the zone. You get over the golf shot, and you get over certain putts, and sometimes you just, again, you don't feel like you can mishit the shot, whether it goes in or not. There's a free feeling there, almost like kind of like zombie mode kind of thing. So that's how I can explain it. And again, there's so much theory behind and psychology behind how do you get there. As an athlete, I think you just cherish those times when you are in that zone.
Tony Finau joining us. I think you kind of answered my next point. Like, we all know what it is, or we can kind of get our head wrapped around what it is. But I think what we can't figure out is how you get to that spot, whether it's being in the zone, a flow state, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I mean, do you just hope that it happens, or can you manufacture it? Can you consciously put yourself in that spot?
I think a little bit of both. I think you can manufacture it a little bit and just have that free spirit to you when you play, to know everything's going to be okay, whether executed or not. And that's what it seems like for me when I'm in the zone, that, I even if I mishit the shot or whatever, it's okay. And maybe that's everybody's zone is different, I think, the way they look at it and the way they feel it. But I do think you can manufacture it a little bit, and just in your attitude, because that's what you can control.
Right. You never want to worry about things you cannot control.
That's
we know
right.
this, right?
That's right.
So Tiger Woods picked you to be on the President's Cup team. How did he tell you that you were going to be on that team, and what do you remember about that conversation?
So he called me. I was playing the WGC in China, the World Golf Championship in China, and the final round had just finished. So it was about 6 p.m. in China on Sunday, which was about 3 a.m. in Orlando, where Tiger lives, or in West Palm Beach. And he gives me a call, and I knew what it was for. And he says, hey, do you have a few minutes? I said, yeah, of course. I've been waiting for this phone call for a few months. But he says, I've got some tough news to share with you. And I knew the phone call was going to go one of two ways. It was either going to be one of the greatest phone calls I ever received, or it was going to be one of the most devastating phone calls, having that Tiger is my golfing idol. And I was either going to hear the best news from him and that I made his team, or the worst news that I didn't make his team and he didn't want to pick me. So when he said he had tough news for me, as you can imagine, my heart sank. I was devastated, and so he lets a few seconds go by, and he says, well, do you want to hear the news? And I said, yeah, I guess. And at this time, I'm just thinking, I've got to hear it from his mouth that I didn't make the team. And he pauses for a few more seconds and he says, "Welcome to the President's Cup team. You made the squad." So he's quite the jokester and the prankster, and at that time he definitely got me. But I was ecstatic. You know, the next 30, 40 seconds of him just kind of singing my praises and how much he wants me on that team, how many, you know, the players wanted me on the team, was very special for me. So it ended up being one of the best phone calls of my life and one that I'll always remember because of who Tiger is to me. You know, I think Tiger Woods resembles so much to so many different people. But to me, he was my golfing hero, my golfing idol, a huge part of why I play the game. So to get that phone call from him as a team that I wanted to make because he was the captain was very special for me.
Dude, I can't tell you how happy I am that I asked you that question. That is a great story. That is a great story. Yeah. Tony Finau joining us. So now you've been on the Ryder Cup team. You've been a member of the President's Cup team. What is the experience of playing in a team competition like, and what does that opportunity represent to you personally?
Yeah, to have the opportunity to represent your country in international games is a huge honor, and it's something that I don't take lightly, and it was so cool to represent the red, white, and blue in the Ryder Cup and in the President's Cup, and it's something that I dreamed of since I've been a kid. So to be able to live that dream and have that become a reality is very special. To be in those locker, to be in that room with some of the best players in the world, the guys are used to banging heads against, wanting to beat up on, you know, once a week we have the opportunity to come together and play for something bigger than us, and that's for our flag and just for pride in general for our game is very special. So I cherish those moments, and I know that at a certain time in my career they'll come to an end, but those are teams that I want to be on for many years to come, and something that I is at the top of my list every year to make the Ryder Cup, the President's Cup, the Olympics. Those are all big things for me.
Tony Finau joining me for a few more moments. So you were paired with Matt Kuchar on Saturday for the four ball and the foursomes. What are the pressure putts like in a team competition, knowing that you've got a point or a half point on the line? For instance, does it feel really, really different than putting in a regular tournament?
Yeah, it does. You know, it seems like everything's a little, your senses are a little heightened, more so. I think it's almost like a major championship. You're coming down the stretch every single hole. There seems to be that type of pressure. But, you know, I hit some nice putts down the stretch in that match on Saturday in the morning and in the afternoon. And it was so much fun to be with Cooch. I had a great time playing with him. He's one of my good peers out here on the PGA Tour. And you know, hitting those pressure putts, there's nothing like making them. You know, the ecstatic moments that brings and the joy that brings and the sense of accomplishment that it brings when you hit those type of clutch putts are very cool, and to be able to share that with Cooch was a huge thing for me.
All right, so final thought, I can't like connect and relate to what you do out there, but you and I are now connected in a different way. We both push content. You've got yourself a podcast.
That's right.
I mentioned off the very top that you're the co-host of the Let's Get a Podcast with Boyd Summerhays. How did the podcast come to be, and for those who have not heard it, how are you guys approaching it?
Yeah, so it's called the Let's Get It Podcast. We started it. This is our second year going into our second season, I guess. You know, we started last year in 2019. But my coach, Boyd Summerhays, and I have always thought that we live pretty interesting lives. There's a lot to share. There's so many things that go on throughout a week that we feel like, you know, we should share with anyone who wants to listen, whether that's five people or, you know, 50,000 people. And so we were like, let's start a podcast and let's talk about our golf life. Let's talk about our little bit of our personal life and just share it with whoever wants to hear. So that's what our Let's Get It podcast is about. I had some great content in there this past season, and we look forward to pushing some good content this year on our podcast. Again, there's so many great things I feel like that happened in my life, and I just want to share that with other people.
Do you bring guys on tour onto the podcast?
This year we're going to have a lot of guests. We haven't had any yet, as we just were kind of pushing what we wanted to in our agenda. In our lives, but we do look forward to having a lot of guests this year, and so please listen in. Let's Get It Podcast.
Good for you. Get it. He is a PGA Tour pro. Not only that, but he is the first guy we look for every single year when we come here.
Thanks, bro.
He is a world number 16. No, Tony, thank you very much. It is so good to see you. I ran down that resume. I know you got some work to do, but I really do appreciate you stopping by first and getting us going. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me on, brother.
Tony Finau, my brother. Can't say how much I appreciate you and it.
Brother.
That's how you start this thing off. All right. We are live at Torrey Pines. Did I or did I not say about a half hour ago it was going to be an amazing day? We are having a great time. We will take a short time out. When we come back, I already see him off to the side. The wild man, Pat Perez, is next. He will be joining us. Rex Hager, top of the hour. And I've got plenty more. We are live at the Farmers Insurance Open. I'm Jim Rome. Here is your bottom of the hour sports update.
Open at Torrey Pines. This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
How you like me now? This is not something you should say at a golf course, a pristine resort like this. But part of me wants to say, and tell me how my ass tastes. A few days ago, I was in Kansas City freezing my ass off. And now I'm at Torrey. No jacket, sunglasses on. This is the perfect life. Now, when I come here, a couple of things happen. It's become a pilgrimage of sorts, a tradition. We start the show with Tony Finau. But when I come here, I'm looking for one guy in particular. He is a wild man. He's a PGA Tour pro. He's a three-time winner on tour. Two top tens in five tourneys since October. He's playing really well. He won an NCAA championship at Arizona State. He is essentially a member of the 08 Philadelphia Phillies World Championship team. He is a good friend of the program. And speaking of friends, y'all know Elk. Many of you love Steve Elkington. I don't know that Elk loves anybody like he loves Pat Perez. Pat, it is so good to see you. What's going on?
My man, thanks for having me back.
Pat, how many times have you heard from Elk this morning already?
Already four.
Four.
Which is less, you know. Usually, I finally told him, I said, Elk, you got to quit calling me so damn early. You know, he's 2 hours ahead of me, and I get messages. They start at 5 a.m. He's, oh, man, it's lunchtime already. I go, Elk, go do something else.
So when does Elk have his first drink? Is he already drinking when you wake up?
He might be right now. What is it? 11:30 there? Oh, 100%.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere, but 11:30 where he is.
He's petting those chickens, and I do mean real chickens, actually.
He's got chickens?
About 9 of them. They're all named. They're actually pretty cool. He built this unbelievable coop in the back. He loves to go out and feed them and pet them and, you know, just watch them.
No, what is that? Like, is he looking for, like, farm-range eggs, or are they pets?
Yeah,
like,
they get, no, they're...
I didn't know he had chickens.
Yeah, they have 1,000 eggs every day. I mean, they have more eggs. They can feed the whole neighborhood.
Yeah, but Elk drinks like moonshine. Why does he need, like, organic food?
He's got the bar, and then we have the late-night bar. And if you hit the late bar...
What's the difference between the bar and the late-night bar?
It's regular drinks, you know, vodka, that kind of stuff. Then you get to the bourbon bar late. Then if you get to the late bar, which is, it never happened because you already get, you know, you're going to bed by that time. That's the special stuff.
What's there?
Well, the special bourbons. He's a huge bourbon guy. He's got a lot of great stuff. I've gotten lucky enough to try some of it.
All right, so like take me back. A lot of listeners know Elk and they love Elk. I know he loves you, but look. You, me, him, we're not for everybody. When did you first meet Elk, and what do you think about Elk?
I can't remember when I met him. It was so long ago, but I knew he was different. He was the kind of guy, obviously like me, straight shooter, would tell you exactly.
Hey, Pat, we're not on the podcast. You can't drop four-letter bombs on this show, all right? I want you to know your room.
He talk a lot of smack.
A lot of junk.
You know, a lot of junk. You can't just, you know... He's like, you're not that good. You can't do this. You want to be me. You can't do this. I go, all right.
You want to be me.
He always tell me that. You want to be me. And I got him one time. I finally got him. He goes, you want to be like me. I said, what, hated? And it just froze him. I finally got him. He goes, no, you want to be like me. You want to lay back. I go, one day.
Actually, he's tough to get. That rare is the moment where he doesn't have something to say
If I can get him in that one moment, I'll take it.
Hey, Pat, listen to this. So this is from him, not me. All right. This is from the Elk's mouth, not mine. I would own it. He says to me, ask PP about, quote, how much paint he's putting in his hair because he's gray as bleep. And he said, make sure you ask him if he has Sherman Williams as his bag endorsement because of it.
What do you mean? Look at all that gray hair I have. Are you kidding me? What hell are you talking about?
Sherman Williams. You know I didn't. Only Elk would say something like that, right?
Of course he would.
Yeah, dude, do you have Sherman Williams on your bag?
No, I wish so. They're a big company. I'm available.
We're talking to Pat Perez. He's live, Elk. All right, so you already have, I would argue, the strongest shoe game in golf with your Air Jordans. Now, you stepped up your bottle game as well because Air Jordan himself shot you a bottle of his new tequila.
Yeah.
How cool was it to get a bottle from the man himself, and have you cracked open that fire water yet?
I have. It's fantastic. Called Sincoro. It's awesome. Yeah, it was so cool. I got this big box. I didn't know what it was because we drank it in Monaco. He took the, they call them board directors, athletes. And it was me and, all the basketball and football guys that were there. And we were drinking. So they had a huge poker table made for about 15 people. And it was just me and my wife, Ashley, and then MJ was sitting
dude,
right there.
Dude, in Monaco, MJ.
Yeah.
Dude, that's some there. James Bond bleep right
on
there.
It was unbelievable. So we're sitting at this huge table. We got the huge jump man on this poker table, and he's sitting there, and I'm sitting here, and we just rapped for about an hour about all kinds of stuff, drinking the tequila, smoking a cigar. It was like the greatest hour of my life.
Let me inside. Like, what were you and Jordan rapping about?
Well, it was about shoe designs, and I asked him. I said, "Hey, man, I would love." I said, "The Cement 4. If anybody ever read my Players Tribune article, it was about my first Jordan I ever got. A kid threw them away, and I took them out of the trash and I wore them until they were literally destroyed. And I told him, I said, "Man, I love the 11s. I love all the stuff." I said, "Is there any chance I can make a Cement 11, since that's what we're on right now? Because the Cement 4 is my thing." And he goes, "Bro, just make the Cement 4 golf shoe then."
And incredible.
I'm like, not only am I sitting here talking to, my absolute favorite athlete of all time, but now, I'm signed with the brand. I'm sitting here rapping with him about shoes and designs.
He's giving me a shoe.
And now he's gonna
it was my
me,
idea.
He's going to give me a shoe to do. And he's just unbelievable. He's so cool. I've met I've met so many big star athletes. Tiger well. I know Wayne Gretzky well. Brett Hull. Jordan. I'm talking, the top guys, that I've got to hang out with. But he is just, he's so cool. And, I got to use his golf cart at Shadow Creek this year.
What was that like?
Nervous. Very nervous. So I called him. I said, "Hey, bro, I'm playing the MGM Pro-Am at Shadow this week." I said, "Is there any chance I can use this cart?" Because he has two of them. And he goes, "Yeah, go ahead, bro." And I'm like,
That rig like?
It's sick. It's all black. It's got two little speakers and a sub in it. It's got the Jumpman on the front. You can't really tell. It's in the cement theme, the black cement theme. It was so cool. And it's the only time I've ever driven a golf cart,
sober?
Properly. And sober.
Dude, why were you so nervous? You've spent your entire life driving golf carts.
I just, I didn't want to mess up the rim or, have someone hit me or something. I could just imagine the call. "Hey, bro, the cart was great. There's good news and bad news. Good news, I'm alive. Bad news is you're going to need a new cart."
Bad news is you're fired, Pat.
Exactly.
Bad news is forget you ever knew me. Lose my number.
But it was cool. That trip to Monaco was so sick.
What did you think about Monaco? That's a wild place.
You need a heavy credit card.
Yeah.
Let me tell you that right now. That trip was incredible, though. They didn't skip a beat. They rented this massive room on top of the hotel, and then MJ had a room on the other side. But that was like the hospitality room. So you could drink and eat anything you wanted. It was open all night. There was, ping pong and pool table and dice games going. And I mean, it was incredible. I'd never been part of a scene like that with that many athletes, like high profile top athletes, like Kemba Walker and Spike Lee was there and Michael Thomas was there. And I mean, it was unbelievable. MJ obviously was hanging out.
Did you feel comfortable? I mean, like, you're one of them, bro. You're part of that brand.
Yeah. They didn't really know who I was because I'm, here I am, this 43-year-old golfer that no one, they'd never really heard of because they're all younger. Maybe Earl Thomas was a little bit older, but, like Thomas Davis.
Think how much money you could have taken off those guys. Like, they don't know who you are.
Bro, Earl Thomas is the dice master.
Okay.
Yeah. Deshaun Kaiser was there. They were all playing dice. It was Jamal Adams. He was getting live. It was so cool just to be part of this thing going, I don't know if I really fit in, but I'm one of them, so I have to be. But MJ made it clear when we got there that, look, we're all the same. We're all in the same boat. What was so cool about it, though, is they all knew who the big chief was. When MJ walked in, they knew that it was him and then all of us. There was no, I can't use the term, but BD, There was none of that
There's
going
no
on.
Doubt.
Everybody was the same. Everybody was cool. In my group, it was awesome. Russell Westbrook, Blake Griffin, Spike Lee.
What was Russ like?
Russ was like you see him. He was kind of quiet. He was cool. He was real cool. We talked a little bit. He was cool. But, kind of reserved, kind of quiet, this and that. Blake was kind of the same way. And Mello was in my group, too. They were all kind of the same. They were all just hanging out, vacation.
You got with some dudes that are not easy dudes to get with, by the way. Those are not the easiest dudes to be around.
No, they're not. And, Spike Lee, we talked for a while. It was an unbelievable, unbelievable trip for me. And that's why, I got home and I started, thinking about things differently. Because these guys were all in great shape and this and that. And I'm thinking, I'm so embarrassed. I'm just I look like a fat slob. I got to get in shape. From the last day I left Liberty National, when I missed the cut, I just felt terrible. So I started working out. I've been working out for 6 months now, trying to get back in shape. So I actually feel like I'm, giving what I should be to not only be a better golfer. I want to stay, healthy for my daughter and that stuff. I want to feel better. But, to be part of a Jordan brand and be a slob, none of them are. So I thought, I gotta change my
Pat,
ways.
Pat, part of me wants to say, I don't want to hear this, man. Pat Perez, all grown up, eating clean.
No, it's not grown up. I promise you, there's a lot of things.
What's next? You're plant-based? Part of me doesn't want to hear this, but part of me is, like, really impressed.
Bro,
like,
I come here, it's all Mexican food. My diet is still horrible. But, I go to the gym for 2 hours in the morning, and I still eat terrible all day. But, I was telling Tiger at the gym in Japan, He's like, bro, what are you doing? I go,
like, what are you doing here?
That's what he said. He goes, what are you doing? You know, because everybody's in there. I'm like, bro, you know, I gotta, you know, I'll tell you where it started. When I had the baby, I couldn't lift all the stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Baby seat. Everybody that's got the kids, you know,
dude,
what the hassle is to carry all this stuff,
dude.
Put in the car, this and that. And I told Tiger, I'm like, bro, you get it. I go, I feel so weak. And I got tired of feeling weak. And he told his trainer, you know, it got back to me like, bro, Perez was hitting it, like hitting it hard.
That's high praise, dude. That had to feel good.
You know, sadly enough, I wish I'd have followed Tiger's lead. You know, he's 3 months older than I am. I wish I'd have followed his lead for, you know, more of that back in the day with the working out and being in shape and that kind of stuff. I think it would probably help my career more.
Yeah, but dude, you had so much fun.
I had a lot of fun.
And we can't change what
he's
we did.
He's got a lot of money, though, a lot of wins.
You have enough money, and you have wins, and you had a hell of a lot of fun. That baby thing's no joke, though, right? Like,
no.
For instance, there's certain angles. Like, if you reach back to put the baby chair in, the angles are kind of unorthodox. Like, you can get jacked
up. Bro,
you
can ask my boys.
You can get hurt.
There were more four-letter words coming out of that car this morning trying to get this seat. And, you know, you got to clip this one and then clip this one and take the seatbelt and wrap it through and try to get to the other side. If my arm was another, like, 4 feet, I could do all this.
Right.
And I'm telling you, this whoever started that car seat thing.
The struggle is real. No, I know
this. Tell you right now.
So, dude, tell me about Piper. Piper, is she a year and a half yet?
She's 16 months.
What is she like?
She's unbelievable. She says hi to everybody. She's happy. She eats like me. She eats like a horse.
Does she drink like you yet?
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit. She's so cool. It's the, you know, other than my wife, it's the coolest thing that's ever happened. You know, everybody says, I'll wait till you have kids to change your life. You don't know that till you actually do it. You hear about it. You know, I've gone through it with all my boys. But it is the coolest thing in the world to see this little girl, and she looks like me. And when she looks up at me, and she smiles, and she laughs, and we have fun. And there's nothing like it.
Is she speaking?
Yeah, she says hi, and, you know, she'll say, you know, wah-wah. And, you know, she's got about 10 words she can almost say, you know.
Did you put a little plastic 9 in her hand yet?
She has. So PXG made her a little club. It's about that long. It's a one of one, and it's got her name on it. And the day she was born, it's cool. But she is so awesome. I cannot wait until she gets older and we can start doing things.
You know,
which is another thing. To try to stay alive, I gotta start working out a little more and this and that, so I can actually try to stay alive and, you know, raise her properly.
You know what's great, Pat? If you're getting that much out of it already, you will not believe how awesome it gets when she starts to speak. And, like, you want to know what's going on in that head. You don't know yet.
Yeah, I can't
wait. Till she starts talking. You will not believe how awesome it is.
I can't wait till she can talk. You know, but that's another thing that's kind of nice about where I am in my career now. I'll be 44 in March. You know, I'm going to play hopefully 6 more years on this tour and then go to the champ tour. But by the time I get the champ tour, you know, she'll be like 7.
Yeah.
Or 8. You know,
that'll
be
understand.
Cool.
Right.
But then, you know, if I only want to play 5 more years, now she's 13, and I'll be pretty much done. So now I've got her from 13 until whenever, and I can, you know, hang out with her and you know, raise her right and do all these things that I want to do. So that's kind of the nice thing about that I'll have all that time to do it, which is pretty cool.
See, Pat, you set this up perfectly. Pat Perez joining me for a few more moments. Now, Pat, I want to ask you about Lefty for a minute. Mickelson is, like, still a source of fascination to a lot of people, myself included. Like, a lot of guys, and we're talking about this even with you, as they get older, they kind of reinvent themselves, they adjust, they do different things. Like Phil. Phil's trying to lean out, right?
He
respect that. But in terms of his game, he seems like he's the exact same dude, just swinging out his ass. Like, is it me or is he wasting his time chasing that distance? I mean, does this guy not need a hit-it-straight coach instead?
Well, you know, I saw Phil on Monday. He's very lean. I mean, he's very skinny. And, you know, but he seems happy. You know, Phil is a guy I would never question. It's like Tiger. You know, I wouldn't question those two guys because in my era, those are the two greatest in our generation by landslide. Not even close. So, you know, if he wants to do this, but he's never driven it straight. He's a risk-reward guy. He has won as many times as he has, plus all his majors and all these things, by risk-reward. Did it cost in tournaments? Probably. But did it win in tournaments? Probably as well. So I don't question a guy that's done that much better than I have. You know, he wants to hit it far because he wants to keep up with the kids today. The kids are hitting it so far, and they're straight. You know, he hits it far, not exactly straight, but he's so interested in this length thing. And, you know, he's 50. He's almost 50. What does it even matter? Let him
right.
do it. I don't care. He can
right.
do it as long as he wants.
No, it was like Mike Vrabel when he had that podcast. And they said, would you be willing to chop off your junk to win a Super Bowl? He's like, yeah, why not? I don't need it anymore. I don't use it anymore. Ask my wife, right? Is that not what we're talking about?
Yeah.
The guy's 50. Why are you doing that? Why are you chasing that?
You know, it keeps him young. You know, keeps him. You got to remember, he's gonna be Ryder Cup captain, probably a President's Cup captain as well. He wants to show the boys that he's still got it. He doesn't have to show me anything. I've been watching it forever. But, You know, he wants to do it. He leaned out. You know, it's probably – maybe it's another health thing for him, too. We don't know about. He might have something going on. Said, Phil, you're getting a little heavy. You need to lean out if you want to, you know, continue. Remember, he had the arthritis thing.
And sure.
He might have something else going on that he doesn't want to tell anybody. And he said, Phil, you got to lose some weight. You got to do this. And maybe it, then it translated into more speed. And now he likes to hit
maybe
far.
So. Maybe
he
so.
Likes to hit far.
All right, he is a three-time winner on tour. He has two top tens in five tournaments since October. And as I mentioned, no way I'm coming down here without looking for Pat Perez. Pat, you did what you always do, Pat. You showed up huge, man. I appreciate you. Have an amazing week. I know you're going to kill it, and it's good to see you, Pat. Thank you very much.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
You're the best. Pat Perez. That's hour number one, one of my favorite hours in a long time. Your thoughts on Pat. We are coming right back. Hour number two, straight ahead. Don't go anywhere. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome, and we are live at Torrey Pines, site of the Farmers Insurance Open.